DeepEnglish.com. Everyone loves an underdog. Active listening, normal. Kalpana Saroj's life is a classic rags-to-riches story. She once worked for just pennies a day. Now she is a multimillionaire. Kalpana was not just born poor. She was born into a Dalit family. Dalits, also known as untouchables, are at the bottom of society, according to the traditional Indian caste system. Discrimination against lower castes was made illegal in the 1950s, but it's still a problem. Kalpana was a fun-loving child with lots of friends, but adults weren't always so kind to her. The parents of other children forbade their children from going to her house and told them never to accept food from her. Even some of Kalpana's teachers tried to separate her from other students and stop her from joining after-school activities. Despite this discrimination, she was a bright girl who did well at school. Her father was a policeman in a small village. Although he was uneducated, he wanted his daughter to continue her education. This did not go over well with the community. Her family and neighbors protested, and her father gave in. Kalpana says that girls were seen as a burden on their families, and educating girls was seen as a waste. The norm at the time was for Dalit girls to get married young. Her father buckled under the pressure of the community and took her out of school in the 7th grade. He then married her off to a 22-year-old man. Kalpana was just 12 years old. Kalpana said she didn't expect married life to be a bed of roses. It was traditional for in-laws to be strict with new daughter-in-laws, but her husband's family was sadistic. As a scrawny child of just 12 years old, she was supposed to cook and clean for 12 people. Without any experience, she naturally made mistakes and paid dearly for them. If the house wasn't clean enough or if the food was burnt or too salty, she was beaten. She was regularly kicked, punched, and emotionally abused. Her mother-in-law once said, "You're such a stupid girl. Your mother must have been with a donkey." Her in-laws forbade her from writing home, and they had no telephone. She felt completely alone. 6 months after her marriage, her father came to visit. He was shocked to find her starved with ripped clothes and tangled hair. Her husband's brother told him, "See what she's like? If she doesn't shape up, we'll strip her and hang her from a tree." Her father was horrified and said he would take her home, but her new family refused. They said that Kalpana was theirs. Kalpana's father returned the next day in his police uniform and took her home. It was not a sweet homecoming. No one raised an eyebrow after hearing about her abuse. Instead, they gossiped that there must be something wrong with her for leaving her husband. Some people said that the only way to remove the stain she had placed on her family was to kill herself. One day, while her aunt was cooking dinner, Kalpana went into another room and drank 3 bottles of rat poison. Her aunt found her frothing at the mouth and screamed. Kalpana fell into a coma but eventually recovered. She remembers her father's boss not wanting her to go to the city hospital because it was embarrassing. "What's the Dalit's daughter done now?" was his attitude. This was a turning point for her. "Why not live life bigger, so when I do die, they won't be able to stick me with a label," she thought. Kalpana moved to Mumbai, where she got a job at a factory. She was unable to work the sewing machine, so she picked lint off the fabric. She was paid just 15 cents a day, but she was ambitious. While her co-workers went to lunch, she practiced on the sewing machines. After some time, she was promoted to a tailor, making $5 a day. "It was the first happiness in 15 years," she said. "I've earned millions, but that initial $5 was the most satisfying." Kalpana saved her money and eventually was ready to start her own business. Together with some other poor but ambitious women, she got a business loan from the government. They opened a furniture business, and it thrived. Kalpana started to make a name for herself as a savvy businesswoman. Kalpana next invested her money into real estate and development. Her first land deal almost cost her her life. Some criminals who had their eye on the same land she was buying put out a contract on her life. Kalpana survived the threats and said it was just one of 3 times that criminals have put out contracts on her. She now owns a revolver to protect herself. She says, "I've seen death up close, so it's not like I'm afraid of losing my life. My attitude is, while I've got life, I have to live it to the fullest. Kulpana moved from real estate to investing in a sugar company, and finally, her most audacious deal, buying Kulpani Tubes. It was a company with $24 million of debt and mired in lawsuits. She said only a mad person would sink 116 billion rupees in a company with no profit in sight, and that person is me. Kulpana's Midas touch turned the company around, and it's now worth over $100 million. Kulpana isn't in it just for herself. She takes pride in giving back to her community. She has returned to her village and set up schools and given jobs to abused women. And she has created an NGO teaching poor people how to get business loans. She says, Ivy League degrees and fancy MBAs are not what make an entrepreneur. Grit, perseverance, and a superhuman ability to have faith in yourself does. Kulpana Saroj's life is a classic underdog story that happens to be true, so it's not surprising that she inspires people. People love underdogs in all walks of life, whether it's politics, business, art, or sports. We want to see the little guy succeed. Researchers have studied people's desire to root for the underdog. They asked 100 university students to imagine two hypothetical sports teams. Team A was highly favored to win over Team B in a series of 7 games. They gave the students no other information about the teams and then asked which team they would root for. 81% chose Team B. They next told the students that Team B had won the first 3 games in the 7-game series. Now who would they root for? Half of the students, who had said they were previously rooting for Team B, switched sides and said they would root for Team A. There are different theories about why we want underdogs to win in sports and perhaps in life in general. Some people think that people are looking for excitement. In 2016, the small town of Leicester City won the Premier League championship for the first time. At the start of the season, the humble football team was given 5,000-1 odds of winning. To put that in perspective, a bet on Elvis being alive was given 2,000-1 odds. They were playing against world-famous teams like Manchester United, with a team salary budget of £230 million versus their relatively meager £22 million in combined player salaries. They were counted out, but they pulled it off. It was truly a miraculous fairy tale story. It's naturally more exciting to see the team everyone expects to lose end up winning. Another reason some people like to see the underdog win is that we are looking for justice. We want fairness in the world. We don't want the little guy to always lose. And by rooting for the less powerful side, we're really rooting for a more fair and just world. No matter how successful we are in some spheres of our life, there's always some part of our lives where we are or have been insecure. We've all at some time been picked last for the team or not had the confidence to approach the girl or guy of our dreams. Of course, most underdogs will lose. That's why they're called underdogs. But when they do overcome, it gives us hope that we can too. If David can beat Goliath, then so can we. And if Kulpana can pull herself up by her own bootstraps, then just maybe anyone can do the same.